Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesday morning, and my name is Willa White. I am your host for Wednesdays with Willa, and this is my special show that I do Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time in the United States. We do have viewers from around the country and around the world, and we're so glad that you all take the time to tune in to this Lilydale Radio program. There are two ways to view this show or listen to this show. The favored way seems to be on my Facebook page, which is Willa White Medium. So you can go to my Facebook page, you can like and share and follow and all that good stuff, and even look back at the archive videos of past shows of Wednesdays with Willa. The secondary way is to go on to the blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio site, and you'll see other Lilydale Radio shows there as well. So you can tune in to all of us and see what we're chatting about. On my particular show, it's a spiritual conversation that I typically have a spiritual special guest on the show, and we talk about topics relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. And it's a great opportunity to have a taste of spirit in your week. And so I'm really happy to have as my special guest today, Connie Dutter.
Yay!
And many of you have probably seen Connie around Lilydale. She is a very busy bee, hard worker here, and a great volunteer. And we're very pleased and happy to have her here.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how about we give them a little bit of background about you before we get into our topic, which is the secret life of plants.
Yeah, and you might be wondering, how could the secret life of plants pertain to spirituality?
Oh, we've got some great things for you.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing topic.
Yes.
Years ago, I read a book called The Secret Life of Plants. And that's where I learned that plants can tune into emotions.
Yes.
And if you have a plant in your house, it tunes into your emotions. And then when Willa asked me to be on the show, we both realized that we had read The Secret Life of Plants, so
yes,
we read it again, because it was a long time ago.
Yes.
And that plants actually have auras like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you may have had your aura, what do they call that? When you
like
have
aura-graph kind of thing,
yeah.
Alien photography,
yes,
and whatnot.
Yeah. And plants do that too. They show different colors for different things. They can if they can sense if someone's going to harm them, they show a different color
and response to that,
yeah.
And I think we should tell them some of the scientific experiments that were done on that. But
yeah,
before we do, I want to say that Connie Dutcher, because we haven't really introduced you well.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I want to backtrack a little bit, because Connie has been an amazing volunteer for Lilydale. And I know you're a retired teacher, and so
right,
you were an educator for many years, and that in your life here in Lilydale, you've really tried to be spiritual in your mindset, and that you have a lot to do with the plants, with the trees, and you've actually helped people to understand how old our beautiful old-growth forest really is and the special species that are out there. You've been part of that initiative,
mm-hmm,
and you're also, I believe, a master gardener, isn't
that's
that
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in those roles, you've really tried to, make sure people have awareness about the trees that are here in the Lilydale and about plants. And so that's why I feel Connie's a perfect person for today's show, because she's got this as her background, and
yeah,
you spend a lot of time in nature.
I do. I have different gardens I take care of.
Yes.
And if you do come to Lilydale, I should say when you do come to Lilydale, visit the butterfly. Well, there's a lot of different neat places, but there's a butterfly habitat that we established. I think this is our third year now, and we were able to do that through a grant from the Northern Chautauqua Community Foundation.
Yes.
Gave us a grant so that we could purchase soil and plants and everything, and lots of volunteers. We were kind of amazed at every time we needed help, and we sent out a word through email that lots of people came to help, and lots of people still come to help with the cleanups that we do.
Yes, because there are different garden spaces. Those are very important here at Lilydale,
yeah.
And they are protected spaces. The old growth forest that's around the Inspiration Stump is protected and will not be logged. And
right.
it's a very sacred space for us, but it's also about preserving that space.
Yeah, and then when you go up to the stump, the Environmental Committee has put different signs up, as you get closer to the stump, on your right-hand side, there's a big old cucumber magnolia, and it's actually a co-champion for New York State.
Co-champion.
What does that mean?
Yeah, really.
Like the biggest
watermelon. What does that mean?
It means that they take different measurements to get a combination, and they add them all together, and they get a number. And the measurements would be like the spread of the tree, how far out the limbs go, how tall it is. And there's one more that I'm forgetting now. Three measurements, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I just happen to know a man that's very well respected in doing this, so that when he came out and we found this tree that was just huge, he knew there was another one that was a champion, and this one matched it.
Wow.
So we are co-champion, big tree.
And how old is that tree, would you say?
I have no idea.
Did he estimate that it would be a few hundred years old? Or
it probably is, but
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to tell without doing a bore into the tree.
Right,
and that
would be difficult.
We kind of hate to do that
because
it can introduce pathogens and things like that into the tree. Yeah, so that's something to look at on the way up.
Some really old trees. And,
yeah.
and that Inspiration Stump area, I always think of it as an outdoor cathedral.
Oh, me too.
And you've got this
yes.
beautiful canopy
yes.
of trees above you,
yeah.
and it, you just can feel their old wise energy around you.
Yes,
and it's really beautiful to commune with them
yeah.
there.
And people that know ley lines go and douse for ley lines.
Yes, yes.
You know, up there.
So that would be a good spot for that.
Yes, it is a good spot to spend some time. And usually there's, once in a while you'll be able to find us. Well, there's always quiet, and sometimes the quiet will be because there's no one else around, and that's a special time.
Yeah, we like solitude.
Yeah.
When there's nobody else around
in our
space, and we can just commune with the trees.
Yeah.
And the trees do talk to. I feel they talk to me. And I've had wonderful experiences in that way. And here
mm-hmm.
in Lilydale, it seems to be very special. It kind of reminds me of, like, if you've ever read the Lord of the Rings series.
Oh, long time ago.
And
yeah.
in, I want to say it's the Two Towers book, they talk about Ents and E-N-T. And these are trees, and they're the old wise ones. And they actually get them involved to help with the battle that is going on.
Oh, neat.
And it's kind of interesting, that idea of just because they move and talk slowly, when they want to converse, they can share information with each other.
Yeah.
And
do you remember the part in the book where they actually were using plants to diagnose if somebody was lying or not?
Oh,
like
yes.
Like a lie detector?
The Secret Life of Plants book. So there was a name, I want to say Cleve Baxter is his name, and he was America's foremost polygraph guy. You know, he used the galvanometer,
uh-huh.
and in the 1960s, he decided, you know what, I think what I'll do is I'll hook up this plant to the polygraph, and we'll see what kind of readings we get. And it was actually an accidental thing that occurred.
Right, yeah.
But he started doing experiments about things, and eventually he discovered that plants can detect when people are lying.
Yeah.
But the idea that plants are sentient beings is difficult for some people to grasp because of they don't have a nervous system the way an animal does.
Right.
But there is a transfer of energy and information.
Yeah.
And that they actually started calling it the Baxter effect when people would understand that plants have that ability to convey information.
I used to, when I lived in a place before, I was close enough that I could go to a sweat lodge with a Native American man. And when he was young, his grandfather would, in the summers, his grandfather would take him all around the country because he was going to be a sweat lodge leader. And he said, they were poor. He says, there's no way I was going to do that. And, well, he did. You know, different circumstances that, you know, it was like you either do it or things won't work out for you well.
Yes.
But one part of his training was they would tell him which plant to go to at the beginning of the day. And he had to spend the day with the plant until the plant told him how it could benefit the people. And it was so fascinating. That,
so it's,
you know,
plant shamanism, would you say?
That's part of the training that he
to
received.
To be a medicine man? Do you think he was trying to be a medicine man? Or what would that
He called himself a lodge leader. He didn't use the term shaman or anything, but he was an amazing person and what he could do, you know, with fire and everything, and the stories. Do we have time for a story?
Sure. Tell us a story.
All right.
Tell us a story.
And this would have happened before I had joined his lodge. He called in the spirit of a buffalo, and a buffalo that came and landed on the fire and stayed there. Everybody saw it. And it was for the whole lodge, the flaming buffalo head. So he had some really amazing things happen. One, flipping back to the idea of having to sit with the plant, he said, and you had to sit with the plant even if you didn't want to. I mean, he was a kid, you know. So,
But it's a group effort when you're connecting with a plant. You know, you have what the plant is putting out and the intention you are setting as well.
Yeah.
And so it's really fascinating what happens when you do sit with a plant. In the experiments, they seemed to choose the philodendrons.
Yeah, I think it was because that was in the house.
It was in the house, but they found that they experimented with different plants, and some are better at having responses than others.
Sure,
Just like people. Yeah. But, you know, what they found with the polygraph or galvanometer, I'm going to say that wrong.
Galvanometer, is that
what it
is?
I think that's probably how to say it. Thank you, Connie. And what they found is that to get the most effective way to get a response is to threaten the well-being.
Yes.
And so then they get a response on the graph thing.
Yeah.
Well, with the plants, they would also start threatening the life, and it would have a response.
Yeah.
And it started to know the difference when somebody was going to pretend hurt it and when it was going to really hurt it. It's almost like it would know a split second before. I mean, and how could it do it without eyes? You know, without eyes, it sensed the energy. And they also had an experiment where there was a spider in the room, and the little graph thing would jump just before the spider was going to jump. So it's really kind of fascinating that they could have that kind of prediction of behavior, that they could be so attuned with another plant or another animal.
Yeah.
To be able to do that,
it is. Because we don't think of we don't think of plants as thinking,
right.
But what they're doing mimics thinking.
It does mimic thinking.
Yeah. And I was talking about the butterfly habitat before, and the way people would come in and admire it, and the next year, the plants I've never seen plants grow that fast and that big. But every time somebody would come into the habitat, oh, how wonderful this is, they were getting all that love.
Plants love praise.
Yeah, and, I guess they do, because they're bigger than anything I've ever seen in the wild.
They seem to do really well if you talk to them and praise them. Mm-hmm. There was another scientist who had someone come into his office and talk badly about a plant and said, the guest thought at the plant and said, well, you're not nearly as good looking as my plant at home. And the plant, they call it passing out. The plant passed out and was not unresponsive for some, I don't know if it's like plays possum or faints or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but as far as the scientific thing goes, and the scientist said, what did you just do? And he said, well, he confessed he had been thinking bad thoughts at the plant, in the sense of just kind of humiliating it, I suppose, just saying you're not as nice as my other plant. And that there was an actual scientific record of that. And then one of the things that George Washington Carver, the peanut man?
Yeah, uh-huh.
He used to have people bring the house plants to them that weren't blooming. They would bring their house plants, and he would talk to them.
Yeah.
And he would fix whatever. It was almost like he was the plant whisperer.
Yeah. Well, they were in that Secret Life of Plants. They're also talking about Burbank.
Yes, Burbank.
Who was an experimenter who, tried to create different plants. Different kinds of plants, and he wanted to make a cactus without thorns.
Yes, without the little spines
in
it.
And so he just kept saying to it, I'll protect you. You don't need your thorns. I'll protect you. And you know, he got cactus without thorns.
Yeah.
They managed. So there's a some kind of understanding that the plants have that we're slower to pick up on than they seem to be.
Well, he said what he would do is he would talk with the plant and he would encourage it to help him.
Oh, to help him.
To help them to grow them better.
Oh.
He would actually engage the plant. Yeah. It wasn't just telling, he would tell the cactus, there's nothing to fear, I'm not going to hurt you, I'm not going to harm you. But then when it came to his fruits and his vegetables, he would say, help me to help you to grow the best that you can. And so he was very intuitive about what they needed. And even when he was weeding out the little seedlings,
mm-hmm.
he knew which ones were going to be the healthiest.
Right.
And he was able to weed out the ones that weren't going to be. He had such an amazing attunement with plants.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen Keller even met with him.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, Helen Keller met with him, and she visited him, and she said, only a wise child can understand the language of flowers and trees. She was really impressed with him and his efforts, because he could make fruit taste like something else, too. I think it was a plum, and he asked it to taste like a pineapple. And it did.
Wow.
Like, it was just weird things like that.
Wow. we're missing a lot without talking to plants more.
It's incredible what we can do. And I think that at one point the Russians were investigating as far as using plants to fly airplanes and, be able to report things that were going on.
Right.
It's like, can this be real? What do you guys think out there? Have you had experiences with plants that you would want to share about with us, or thoughts you have about this? And so you can write into Facebook if you wish, and maybe we'll take a few callers in a little bit.
Okay. Because
I can see some people are on the line. And if you're on the line and you want to share an experience that you've had with plants, then stay on the line, and I will get to you soon, and you can share some of your positive comments and thoughts about that Secret Life of Plants. We're not doing readings or anything like that today, but you're welcome to take part in our conversation if you wish. So if you're on the line in the next couple of minutes, then I know you're there to take part in this conversation. How's that? And the call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. Just thought I'd mention it since we've had a few folks there.
Okay.
And so, you know, Burbank, I'm glad you mentioned about Burbank because of what he was able to develop. He's had that particular way of developing and getting up down to their level. Or up to their level.
Up to their, yeah. Maybe better think of it that way. One thing you might like to try yourself is that I took a class once that What the teacher had us do was go out in, this was in the old growth forest, go out to the old growth forest and just stand with the tree and touch the tree and see what happened. And a lot of people reported, you know, different feelings of tranquility and happiness and things like that. And one person asked the tree to show them something they didn't know about.
Mm.
And so the tree took them up to the top of the tree, and they could see farmland. It was, and indeed, it used to be farmland around here. So they had quite a neat experience with that. That might be fun, a fun thing to try.
Yeah.
You can come here to do that, but you can also do that at your own home. You know, most of you have trees around your home, and just enjoy being with that tree. How nice it will be.
Yeah, it's a different definition of tree hugger.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But when you sit with the tree, and there's a different kind of earthy wisdom that comes from being with a tree and communing in a healthy way with the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I've got a whole meditation series that I'm working on right now that has to do with relating with trees. And I've already been in production with some of those meditations, so I'm really excited about getting that completed,
because
then I can share it with all of you, and you can have a bit of a guided journey on how to connect with plants
and
trees.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, because
that's
been many years in the making. I had written some of these before. And now I'm just getting them going.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the way life is. It takes a while for you to get bring to fruition that which you're
right. Other things come in the way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think about it, you know, the trees around here are very old. Like you're saying, a couple hundred years old, maybe longer. Certainly longer than any person alive here.
Yes.
And they have a lot to say. And that's the trees. On my mind is the butterfly habitat.
Because it's coming up.
Yeah. There's some plants in bloom right now, but we're having a butterfly release on opening day, the 21st of this month.
June 21st.
Yep. And people go online to purchase the butterfly. There may be some still for sale at the release itself. Not always, but I want to tell you a story again.
As it relates to plants?
It does.
Great.
For plants and butterflies.
Okay.
Because the habitat is planted for butterflies.
So it's got plants that attract them.
Yes,
that they want to eat.
These are all native plants. We made sure they were native. We made sure that there was no poisons used in growing them, which maybe that's why they're so happy and growing so well, because a lot of plants you buy in nurseries have been treated with, if I could say that word, nicotisanide, something like that. It is a poison.
Long chemical name.
Yes, and it's not good for the insects, the pollinators that would interact with the plants. Well, this story is not really about a plant, so maybe you don't. It's about a butterfly. I'll tell it. Okay. So
I twisted her arm.
Yeah, right, yeah. So during the release, there's small groups. People say who they're releasing the butterfly in memory of, and or if there's another reason. And this in this one group, there was a man that was releasing. He was releasing the butterfly in memory of Bob Ersing.
Oh, okay.
Now the butterfly just kept flapping its wings, and it wasn't taking off until somebody remembered. Oh, Bob was a pilot. And as soon as they said that, the butterfly took off. He had his go-ahead. Yeah. So fun things like that happen down there.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reasoning behind why something would occur in that way.
Yeah.
He had to check all systems go.
Yes, he did. He had to make sure everything was okay.
Go down the checklist of it. So
yeah.
If anybody wants to take part in the butterfly release, you know to be here opening day.
By 12:30.
By 12:30.
Yeah. And there will be some native plants that have, our garden is so prolific that we had to take, you know, dig some out. So there will be some plants, native plants from the butterfly habitat that will be available for sale too.
Yeah, see, Connie does a lot with the plant sales that happen here
mm-hmm.
in Lilydale and the sharing of plants and fundraising that goes into helping different projects around Lilydale.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really wonderful what you're able to do for us. I see someone's been on the line for quite some time.
Oh, okay.
So
let's see what they say.
Let's see. I'm going to take a caller. And as I said, the caller number is 818-739-8818. And if you'd like to call in and take part in our conversation about the secret life of plants, or you have a plant story that's really cool and you want to share it with us, then please call in. I'm going to take caller ending in 3323. Again, caller ending in 3323. Hello and welcome to the show. Hello, can you hear us? I don't hear anything.
No.
I'm trying to help you to join the show if you have something you wanted to share with us. But I guess maybe there's some tech issues there. Well, anyway, we'll continue on.
Okay.
This happens sometimes when we try to take callers and things.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that people are taking part and showing up on Facebook, and you can share some thoughts and stories you have about plants and what they've done for you or things you felt that you needed to do for a plant.
Mm-hmm.
I know I personally have had experiences with trees and with plants. There's a tree that became my mentor for a while. I actually could feel what it was sharing with me, and it was very healing for me to have that connection with the tree.
That's
and so whenever I would take a walk, I would visit this tree and, spend a few minutes or maybe even up to an hour and having a communion with that tree. So you can do that. And it's interesting what happens, the attunement that happens within you when you open to trees. And there's a living essence that is within a tree. And now, not all animals and cats are healer animals and cats, right? So it's the same thing with trees and plants. Not all are attuned for those kinds of vibrations. So when it happens, you just sort of happen upon it. It's not like you purposely pick a tree per se. It's that you choose each other at that time.
Remember the healing tree they talk about?
Yes, there was a healing tree in Lilydale. But what people did is they started taking pieces of its bark off of it, and because they wanted to take it home for their own little use or whatever, but it destroyed the tree, killed the tree.
Right.
So you have to be careful that you don't start tearing apart your tree you're feeling healing with.
Yeah.
Just share the space. Don't start taking nibbles from it.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to make sure that gets mentioned. But Baxter also was able to establish a bond with his plant. The experimenters who did a lot of these things with plants, they were able to establish a rapport with the plants. They would talk with them and mm-hmm. everything, and they'd hook them up to the little scientific readout things. And then when they would go out into the world, and let's say with the, I think it was Baxter that did it, or was it the other one? He was in New York City, and he almost got hit by a car. The plant registered at that particular moment.
Yeah.
And so there's proof of the time of when he almost got hit. It was like, seriously, almost got hit by a car. Yeah. And the plant knew it and had fear for him in those moments. So they can attune on a telepathic level.
Right. That they're far, when you're far away
from
your plant.
Even when you're far away.
Yeah.
And so they know. It's kind of like a, when you have friends or you have mother-child relationships, you know, people like that,
right.
where you just really are attuned to each other, it is possible to do that with plants.
Yeah, I know my plants say, hey, water me.
There is the water me effort.
Yeah.
And they did an experiment. There were some plants that were able to give other plants water.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
They were able to share their water. They had on a timing system, and the plant would operate when the other plant needed water. It would turn the water on that way.
And how on earth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do.
Yeah. If there's a whole life out there that we just kind of scratched the surface on,
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly.
We move so fast. And things change around us so fast. Imagine if you were a tree and 200 years old. It must be like a fast-paced movie or something.
Yeah,
watching us move.
Watching us proceed with things.
Yeah.
But, you know, we should tell them that one experiment that they did. So they had two plants in a room. And they established that one person was going to go in and kill one of the plants.
Oh.
No plants were harmed. No, yes, plants were harmed in this experiment. but it's something where they didn't know who was going to do it or when they were going to do it. They didn't know the date or time or who of the group was going to. It was independently assigned by someone else, right? So then what they did, the travesty occurred, right? And,
yeah.
And what they did is they brought the people in. And the plant that was alive totally went off the charts when the murderer
came in the room.
Because they paraded the people past the plant, and it registered only for that person who killed the plant. It remembered.
Wow.
Again,
no eyes.
This is all energy. So people can lie, but energy does not lie.
No, I can see why they could use plants as lie detectors or something like that.
It's really kind of fascinating.
And
if there's a repeat harm thing, like when they would burn, they'd start to singe some of the leaves of the plant.
Yeah, I know. After a while, you're reading that, you're going, oh no!
The cruelty. But they were able to really establish a pattern of behavior within the plants and a knowledge that the plants could respond to this, except for the times when the plant would pass out because of fear or whatever.
Yeah,
one of the scientists had another scientist friend over, and the plant passed out, and he was trying to show him how it all worked.
Right.
And he said, "My plant has passed out." He recognized, and he asked this other scientist, "In your work, do you do anything that harms plants?" And he says, "Well, yes. After I'm done with what I need to do with the plants, we incinerate them, you know, we don't think that much about plants, but, you know, we incinerate them, and I then weigh what's left, you know, because for science."
Oh.
And so his plant knew it. The one scientist's plant knew that this man regularly does that with plants.
Yeah.
So the vibe was all over him.
Yeah. It's getting a little hard to pull weeds anymore.
this really brings up, part of you is like, I don't want to believe this. And another part of you, well, this kind of makes sense. But then you start to recognize that everything has energy. Whether it would be an animal or whether it would be a plant, it all has energy. And that when we're eating food, you know, we're tapping into the life source and nutrients that are in that animal or in that plant. And, you know, how do you register whether they're equal or non-equal as far as what you're taking in for them? But plants have also a lot of defense mechanisms to help you to either eat them if they want to spread their seeds or not eat them, right? That's why fruit tastes so tasty, because they want to spread and they want to propagate the world. And there are a lot of vegetables that are very bitter.
Right.
And they don't want to be eaten, or they have thorns or things like this to prevent.
And think about poison ivy.
Yeah, poison
ivy.
You
don't eat that stuff.
Please don't.
No.
So, you know, it's really kind of fascinating. I hope you're enjoying this understanding that there's a different world when you're in the realm of plants than what we're used to.
It is. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, you have to eat something. But it's the return of nourishment to the plant, too. I think it can be a give and take.
Yes, you know, I think what it is, you know, so in my household we say grace. And it's something where we're giving thanks for the food that's before us. And, you know, in essence, we are giving thanks for the life force that is shared with us life force.
Right.
And so it's something that's part of our blessing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an answer for some folks. It's an answer for me on how to give thanks and gratitude.
Right.
Because,
that's good.
You know, there is a life cycle. As much as you don't, there's a part of you doesn't really want to understand about a life cycle. You just want to go about your business. But there's a circle of life to it all. And even within our own growth forest, one of the things that happens is those old trees, they fall down and then they decompose and they become food for other things and food for other plants. And, you know, they produce life.
It's interesting to look at that because look at a tree that's fallen, and over the years you can see how the changes happen. You know, moths will grow on it, or woodpeckers will come and eat, you know, the insects and things like that. Yeah.
So everything has its role.
Yeah.
We all have our roles, and I think we have to honor our roles and other people's roles, but not get too head up about this. Like, you know, just be reasonable about this, and know that you're living in this world with other beings, other systems that are out there. And if you ever were to leave your lawn and not do anything, trees will come upon that space. Very quickly. So there is that understanding that if you don't keep beating back the jungle will come right up to your house. Just look at Florida. They're constantly having to keep things at bay with the jungle upon them. But even here, the little seedlings of maple trees will show up.
They're all
lawn.
Over the place. Oak trees and, they
so
grow.
Plants have that ability to spread themselves far and wide and to take over the earth themselves.
You can see, like, we're a little bit like plants, or a lot like plants in that way.
There are similarities.
Yes,
there are. Absolutely. So I don't want you to just think plants good, people bad. We're eating them.
No.
But, we have to know that we're part of this cycle, the circle of life, and we can honor the plants that are around us. So my children and I, we just planted our vegetable garden a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And, my children, my elder son was saying we were talking about getting ready for the show, and he said, yes, I talked to the zucchini plant. He actually said, I talked to the zucchini plant and said, just grow well. So it's really kind of sweet.
Yes.
That understanding that they have, that we're all in this together.
Right. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We have to be united. Oh, we should talk about Finhorn. There was that lady, I think it's the Cuddies, they would, in Finhorn, what they would do is they would talk to the plants, and they were able to grow big, huge amounts of plants in a short, in a small area of space. And
oh,
I don't know if you got that far in the book.
I don't know about that.
But the idea of she would talk to the essence of the plants, almost like if it was a person, and she was able to get quite a yield in her garden, and also by singing or humming.
And that would make sense, because if plants react to how you're feeling, when you're singing, when you're humming, you're happy, you're giving out all of that natural vibration.
Do you sing? I've not heard you sing or hum while you're planting. Do you do that?
You know, in my mind.
In your mind, you
in
do.
My mind, I do a
do
lot of.
Do any of you sing to your plants?
Yeah. I do a lot of talking to them. I realize I didn't even think about that until the other day when I was, you know, talking to the plants. Ooh, what's
that's
that?
That's
okay. Oh, okay. And I think that's why they do grow so well. And 'cause we've had some amazing plantings in Lilydale, and it seems to happen. The same native plants don't seem to grow as big and as lush outside of here as they do here.
Mm. So what do you think it takes to have a green thumb?
Well, talk to them, or even out loud or quietly, see what they need. Listen when they say, please water me. You know,
or I need a little extra plant food today.
Yeah, something like that, you know. I think they like it when you're calm and loving.
Mm.
And that, I think that puts them at ease. Then they can grow and do what they need to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about humming and singing, there's a whole aspect of music in plants, too.
That's right.
They did those studies about plants and their responsiveness to music. And there was actually a lady who, she'd had children, and she didn't know what she wanted to do, so she went to college. And so she decided to get involved with a science experiment that she was supposed to do as one of her college projects. And she started to do research about squash plants and their responsiveness to music.
Hmm.
And so they set it up. I think eventually it expanded so that there was classical music, there was like folk, like Appalachian kind of music, and then also rock music. And the plants did not do well with the rock music.
No,
in
I
fact,
think so.
they would veer away from the sound systems, or they would just collapse and die.
Oh,
so, like oh no, energetically, right?
Yeah.
And but the classical music, they liked music that was like that, and they decided to do another experiment, 24/7 music versus intermittently, and it actually did better when it had intermittent, in the sense of some gaps of silence between the music.
Chance to rest.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Like, we need that.
If you had music on 24/7 blaring at you, I think the plants need time to sleep, too.
Yeah.
And
that would make sense.
They have a responsiveness at certain points of the day versus others. They did studies as far as when there's a flow in the channels of the stem. There's certain periods of time
that,
in the day where the plant is more responsive and able to have a response that would be recorded scientifically even.
Mm.
So it's really kind of fascinating.
Well, now I'm going to have to go out and start singing, but I think maybe they'll not grow.
Get your opera on.
Yeah.
If any of you find the perfect song, let me know. I really want to know what the perfect song is that harmonizes you with your plants, because we may need to use it ourselves. I really want to have a good, beautiful garden this year.
Oh, yeah.
The peas are already growing and climbing up.
Yeah, it's mine too. Yeah.
And so it's fun watching them
come
up and burst through the soil, and then you have to nurture it. There's a nurturing experience that happens when you're tending the soil
yeah.
and, and helping your plants to grow.
And thank them.
And you thank them.
Thank them, yes.
Thank
yeah.
them for their presence
yeah.
and their love. What else did we want to share? Because I know we're almost coming to time, and I want to.
Okay.
I know there's so much we could talk about when
yeah.
it relates to plant sentience and the idea that plants do have some responsiveness, and some plants are more responsive than others, and some people are better at plant communication than others.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I think everybody could try it with a plant. If you have more than one plant in your house, maybe just single one out to be extra nice to it.
Well, you know, when you talk about singling them out, they did another study. I'm sorry, I'm full of studies here.
Yeah,
right now. It's just like, they took two leaves, and wasn't it two leaves? And oh, they
yes.
did a two leaf one and then a three leaf one.
Okay.
So of the two leaves, they took two fresh green leaves and they put it on the nightstand, and every day she was supposed to ignore the one and then. With the second one, send it so much love, tell
mm-hmm.
it how beautiful it is and green it is. And after 1 month, the one that she ignored and really barely looked at was getting brown and shrilly looking.
Mm.
And then the other one was green like it had been freshly picked.
Mm. And they had another experiment too, didn't they, where they had one plant that was ignored and no water. And another one that was watered regularly like it should, and they both did well because there's something about the one that had water could somehow nourish the other one.
Right.
I'm not sure how that happens, but
so your plants are listening.
Yeah, your plants are listening.
Your
yes.
plants are listening.
Say nice things.
Like the philodendrons, like this one,
yeah.
it likes being
oh,
on the
nice
show.
One.
This
uh-huh.
one likes being on the show and really seems to be quite responsive to praise. So you can see how beautiful and green this one is.
It is.
So you may find that you do respond with a certain plant group more than others. It's just like with people. You get your favorites.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you resonate or vibe with a certain one in particular. But keep in mind that you kind of, you know, you have to love all your children.
That's right.
When it
yeah,
comes
yeah.
to that, and you may find you have a knack with one,
yeah,
in particular,
yeah.
But I'm glad you reminded me about the sending love to one.
Yes, and we have, you know what? A lot of times at our plant sales, we have lots of different plants for sale. And, you know, these are plants that have been with me now for a while. And so I tell them that, I'm looking for a nice new home for you.
Mm.
And they seem to pick out a lot of people. A lot of people buy them. So yeah, I think they're picking their people
they're
as much as
people.
we pick them. Yeah.
Yeah, the plant adoption process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plant adoption services that you provide.
Yeah.
And yeah. somebody who's writing in, I wonder if they would be good for healing in a hospital setting or beside you when you are sick.
I can't see why not.
I can't see why.
No, that's a good idea. Especially maybe if you brought in one that had been with you for a while and it was in tune with you. That would be a good experiment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I say try it.
Yeah.
Try it, Mary, and see what happens.
Try Mary?
Mary is her name.
Oh,
I see.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, you know, why not? I think that makes sense
okay.
with this. You know, to when you're sick. There are certain plants that are really good in a bedroom, they say. They give you the right kind of air, and it's important to have that
mm-hmm.
flow of oxygen.
Right.
And carbon
dioxide.
And one of the meditations that I'm putting in there is that idea of exchange of energy that we have with plants and how important that is. It's life-giving energy that we can have as an exchange.
That's nice.
But, you know, there are different uses of plants. I mean, there are different herbal uses
mm-hmm.
of plants. And when you do start to commune with a plant, you start to see its usefulness, where sometimes their roots are what you need, or sometimes the roots are poisonous. So you have to learn about plants and really start to recognize their role in your life. And, oh, real quickly, plants also don't like to be right up against each other.
Oh, space.
Yes. Plants like their own space. So if they're too close to another, they start to veer off or grow away from them. They're,
right.
You know how there's that 3-foot aura rule for people? Culturally, people like at least 3 feet.
Oh.
Unless they feel really comfortable with a person.
That's true. Yeah.
I think, I don't know how many inches it is, but I think plants feel that way too.
Mm-hmm.
There are these beautiful ferns that grow in the Lilydale Woods, and they don't touch.
Oh.
They just stand there in their own little neat
That's
space.
True. Yeah.
And like little soldiers there. And they don't seem to encroach upon each other's space.
They need their space.
No, there are other plants that are very much into being parasites upon others.
Mm-hmm.
We have the grapevines that I know you're trying to eradicate.
Right, yeah.
And then the Japanese knotweed.
Oh.
So certain plants
have
this, I'm in it to win it, and they hog all the ground they can.
Yeah. My mother calls them takeover plants.
Takeover
plants. And my garden right now has a lot of takeover plants.
That's probably a good phrase for them. And, you know, I'm wondering if there's a way we can talk to the takeover plants.
Oh, and
what do you think? Is there a way to talk to them?
I never tried it.
Good plants.
They see me coming and cringe.
And they cringe?
Might get pulled out.
Well, you know, they say that plants really do respond if anything's being harmed. So if a plant life has been harmed, or if someone that they care about who's a human cuts their finger, they get responsive. So then that makes me wonder, because I like drinking smoothies, and, you know, I'm putting spinach in there and kale and all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I'm hurting my plant's feelings. Oh, no, the kale! But these thoughts that come in our head, who knows? It's just a fun topic to explore, really. This concept of how far do we take it? How far do we take it energetically with it all? But the more you can commune with your environment, the more that you can connect with nature and that which are the wild growing spaces inside of you and outside of you, I think the better you will be in terms of your spiritual development. So it's another reason why this topic is a very important one, so that people realize that they're sharing this space with plants and how to effectively do it. Plants that can feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, I wonder if sometimes in the woods they're like, oh, here comes that Japanese knotweed again.
Oh.
Like, if some of the plants are like that. And, or if they just say, there's nothing we can do.
I think that's probably accurate. There doesn't seem to be too much you can do with it. We haven't had any luck getting rid
of it. But there was an article, I think, at the Buffalo News, I'll have to show it to you later, about goats. They're introducing goats into different parks, and that they will even eat Japanese knotweed. Maybe we need a herd of goats.
Yeah.
I'll have to show it to you after
that.
That
would be,
It's just kind of fun what comes on with all of this. So I hope that you are thinking good thoughts with your plants, and that the plant will feel happy and loved, and that it will be blessed with healthy growth. And I think that's a good affirmation for people out there that are wanting to grow their plants and grow them well with all of this. And
send them some love.
Send them some love.
And they'll send it back.
And listen to what they need on a seasonal basis or what they need in their own lives as they connect with you to integrate in your life. Well, this has been a fun topic, Connie.
Yeah,
I appreciate
thank you, Willa.
Coming on the show today and sharing about it.
It was fun.
Thank
you.
Yes. And so stay tuned. We'll have to, that's the book we're talking about, Mary, with the Secret Life of Plants. Yes, that's one that has been a great resource for us in today's show. So I encourage you, you can probably find it at the library as well.
Yes,
that's where Connie was able to get a copy more recently. So they are out there, and it just makes you think, definitely. So stay tuned. If any of you are interested in coming here to Lilydale for the summer season, look at the LilydaleAssembly.org website. You can see the list of the daily events, the weekly events. There's pretty much something to do every minute of the day, and then there are different workshops that you can register for as well. So you can look at that event listing on the LilydaleAssembly.org website. There's a list of the registered mediums. There are restaurants. There are guest houses here. Things are booking in, so if you have certain dates that you have in mind, start getting that together because, as I said, there may not always be space at the inn. And you want to make sure that you book ahead because this is going to be a very busy season for us. Mm-hmm. It's the 140th season. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, that is.
140. And this is my 17th summer as a registered medium. So time flies by.
Oh, my. Yes,
I know.
It has.
It's incredible. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's show and that you can stay tuned for next week's show. I will go on hiatus as will the other Lilydale radio shows during the summer season, but I'll still try to post from time to time. Keep you in the loop and keep you a part of the fun here in Lilydale. So thank you, everyone, for your kind attention, and thank you again to Connie for being on the show.
Thank you, Willa.
All right, bye, everyone. Have a beautiful, wonderful day. God bless. Bye-bye.